want to open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I'll be reading an English Standard Version, starting on page 11 if you look at the Pew Bible. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and let your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Be seated.
Good morning. So we have a lot of guests here this morning, and it's great to see you all. I hope you can stay after so that we can speak to you and get to know you a little bit better. So this morning, we're going to start off a little different. We're going to start off with a little participation. So in your bulletin in the back, there is a sheet that says, list five things you are worried about. You can put whatever you want. If you do not have a bulletin, get a sheet of paper. I'll just give you a minute to do that. It can be on anything, car payments, college debt, food, housing, kids, whatever you want. Just put five things that you're worried about. Usually I have a watch on me, but the one time I forget it. All right. Even if you don't fill that all out, you put something down. And we'll get back to that at the end of the lesson this morning. But I want to ask the question, what is anxiety? Well, anxiety is something we all have. Being worried, overly worried, about things that we do not know what will happen. The world was anxious the past couple weeks. The reason why I chose this topic is every time I went on social media, all I could see was Israel and Iran. That's all I could see. And a lot of us may be tired, and I'm not going to talk about Israel and Iran, but I want to talk about the idea that during that time, missiles were being fired, people were saying, is this about to be a World War III? And then America shot missiles. Then people started saying, that's it, draft day's coming. People were anxious. We don't know what's going to happen. And throughout all this anxiety, that's all people was focused on. This anxiety that they had of another world war. And in the scripture reading this morning, Jesus talks about anxiety. And I want to reread that. So if you can turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, this is where we'll be majority of the sermon this morning. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What is anxiety? Well, in this passage, Jesus talks about anxiety. And he says, do not be anxious, not once, not twice, but three times. Now, if someone repeats the same thing three times, a little tip about preachers, if we say the same thing every time, we're trying to prove a point. Jesus says, do not be anxious three times. Well, what's the point he's trying to make here? Well, a little earlier, and Jesus wants to focus on the heart. A little earlier, before he starts speaking about anxiety, a couple verses earlier, he says, do not store treasures for yourselves here on earth where moth and rust will destroy them, and thieves can break in and steal them. But store your treasure in heaven where they cannot be destroyed by moth or rust, and where thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Your heart will be where your treasure is. And then he then talks about anxiety. Jesus is focused on the heart. The reason why Jesus keeps talking about saying, do not be anxious, is because he does not want your heart weighed down with anxiety. He does not want it weighed down with anxiety. But what is Jesus not saying? You see, whenever you study the Bible, sometimes people take things out of context or not fully understand what they're saying, and sometimes they misuse passages. So I want to talk very briefly, what is Jesus not saying? Well, the first thing he's not saying is he is not demonizing mental illness. You know, when I was in fourth grade, I was on a playground with my friends, and I fell backward off the little playground tower. My wrist got caught in the little curly pole thing, and my bone just did snap. And as I was on the ground, I landed on my back. The air got knocked out of me. I'm there just sobbing. My mom comes rushing over, and then they take me to the doctor. And you know what the doctor says to me? Well, you just got to read your Bible and pray about it. No, they take an x-ray. They fixed me. They gave me a cast. That's what you say to people who are in need of help, who are in help of need of broken bones or anything. But yet, whenever we're dealing with people with panic attacks or depression, we don't know what to say, so we tend to say, well, just read your Bible and pray. He is not demonizing mental illness. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, he says, where there is no guidance, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in abundance of a counselor, there is safety. Some people don't believe in therapy or therapists. But here we see Jesus, or in the Proverbs, the advice that God's giving, seek guidance. Just because you may suffer panic attacks or depression, Jesus is not demonizing mental illnesses. He is not saying, Hakuna Matata. Now, we all know that phrase from the famous classic, Disney classic, The Lion King. That's the talking animals. And they sing a whole song about it. I remember growing up, that was the first song that I really memorized, I really knew. And oh boy, that song is horrible advice. Giving horrible advice. We read this idea of don't be anxious, don't worry about things. And sometimes people read it of, okay, cool. I'm a Christian. I'm quitting my job, putting up a hammock, drinking some, I don't know, apple juice or whatever, and laying back and not even working. Hakuna Matata, no worries, don't worry about it. As a matter of fact, we're told quite the opposite. In Colossians, it says, in all the work you are doing, In all the work you are doing, work the best you can. Work as if you are doing it for the Lord, not for the people. Now let me ask you this question. If you're working for the Lord, if God is your boss, will you barely not work and just say, hey, don't worry about it? You work the best you can do. Jesus is not saying live a motto of Hakuna Matata. He is not saying to stop taking precautions. Whenever you go on a trip, what do? You plan out what you're going to do. You pack everything. You make sure you have everything, right? You don't just say to yourselves, you know, I got this week-long trip. You know, we'll just vibe. We'll just see what happens. You plan out what you are going to do. In Romans, it says, now I have finished my work here. Since for many years, I have wanted to come to you. I hope to visit you on my way to Spain after I enjoy being with you for a while. I hope you can help me on my trip. Now I am going to Jerusalem to help God's people. Here we have Paul talking about his trip, the trip he planned. Right there, I just said it. He planned the trip. Jesus is not saying, don't worry about it, just go with the flow. In 1 Peter, it says, but respect Christ as the holy Lord in your heart. Always be ready to answer everyone who asks you to explain about the hope you have. In James, it says, some of you say, today or tomorrow, we will go to some city. We will stay there a year, do business, and make money. But you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Your life is like a mist. You can see it for a short time, but then it goes away. So you should say, if the Lord wants, we will live and do this or that. But now you are proud and you brag, and all of this bragging is wrong. Anyone who knows the right thing to do but does not do it is sinning. When he's saying, don't be anxious, don't worry about clothing, don't worry about food, don't worry about what you're going to drink, he is not saying, don't plan out what you would do the next day. But he does warn, don't assume you will have tomorrow. So instead of waiting, you do good now. You know, for 4 years, I had a friend, a professor of mine that some of you may know, Lee Quinn. I had him for 4 years at my time at Florida College. I had him about for 2 classes each semester. On my senior year, I had him for class Thursday, and Friday he was dead. 4 years I've had him. Unexpected. No one saw it coming. But you know what I will always remember about him? He always ended his class saying, see you next time, Lord willing. With that mentality, does that mean he doesn't plan out his class the next day? No. He does plan out what he'll do the next day. But he understands, Lord willing, we will have tomorrow. So what are we told? What is this idea of anxiety that Jesus is trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us not to concern ourselves with things that do not matter, to obsess over things that do not matter, that will distract us from what matters. The difference between worry and anxiety. Now, you see, I got my motorcycle license back in January, and I just bought a brand new motorcycle. Every time I get on it and drive to work, do you think my grandmother worries? Yeah, I hear it every day. She worries. Is God going to count that against her? No. All the mothers and fathers here, when your kids are growing up or they're going elsewhere by themselves or traveling on a plane by themselves, do you worry? Is God going to count that against you? No. He's not talking about being worried, but he's talking about being anxious. In Philippians 4:10, it says, I am very happy in the Lord that you have shown your care for me. You continue to care for me, but there is no way for you to show it. Here is Paul talking to the Philippians saying, you worry for me, you care for me, and I thank you, and so does the Lord thank you. He's not condemning them for worrying about Paul. In Philippians 2:20, for I have no one like him, speaking about Timothy, who would be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Matthew 26, after walking a little further away from them, Jesus fell to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, do not give me this cup of suffering, but do what you want, not what I want." Do you think Jesus was worried about what was about to happen, knowing the soldiers were coming up to arrest him and everything he would go through? Yeah. But that's not what he's talking about being anxious. He's talking about being overly concerned. Being overly concerned with things that do not matter. Things that we should not care too much about. You know, one thing I just can't stand. Every time I go on Instagram, I go on there, and whatever media I follow, you know why I keep seeing? Jeff Bezos' wedding. Why do I care about Jeff Bezos' wedding? Look at the celebrities at Jeff Bezos' wedding. Look how much his suit costs. Look at where it is. Why do I care? But yet people obsess over these things. That's what he's talking about. Don't obsess over things that do not matter. He's also talking about do not obsess over things that is out of your hand. Going back to the Iran and Israel thing, people are freaking out over World War III, but let me ask this question. What are you able to do right now to stop that war from happening? I'll answer it for you. Nothing. There's nothing that you can personally do right now to end that. So why do we obsess over it? And the reason why he talks about this is because all of this obsessing over things that do not matter and things that we cannot change distracts us. Remember earlier, he talks about where your treasure is, your heart is also. This anxiety talk is all about your heart. He's worried about their hearts. He's saying your hearts are being distracted. Our hearts are being distracted. In verse 27, it says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" This distraction you have is pointless. What does your anxiety do for you? Well, is being anxious, does that mean, oh, well, I get an extra day in my life? No. You can be anxious all your life, and guess what? Just like that, you're gone. Did it add anything to you? No. It does us no good. And it makes us a risk of being like the rest of the world. He says in that passage, do not be like the Gentiles. He says that phrase a lot. Because what are the Gentiles worried about? They're worried about what they will wear. They're worried about the food, the water, the money, the politics. That is what they're obsessed over, and they're distracted, and that is what they're focused on. In Matthew 13, 22, it says, "And what is the seed that fell among the thorny weeds? That seed is like the person who hears the teaching, but lets worries about this life and the temptation of wealth stop that teaching from growing. So the teaching does not produce fruit in that person's life." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you being here right now, sitting here, and all on your mind and all in your heart is everything that's happening out there? And because that's what's on your heart, that's what's on your mind, you're missing the teaching. Not like the Gentiles. Instead, he ends it saying, "Seek first the kingdom of God." He says, do not be anxious three times. He's talking about your hearts because he wants your heart not to be weighed down by the world, not to be weighed down by what's happening around you, but he wants your heart set on the kingdom of God and only the kingdom of God. And like he said earlier in Matthew, there are people who hear the word, but their heart's not set on it. And they don't hear it. They lose focus. At the end of the passage, he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But what are the sources of my worries? Why do I have this anxiety? You know, there's a lot of different reasons, and if we want to go through every single reason, we'll be here for about 2 hours, but I don't want to do that, neither do you. So I want to look at two examples, and that is, the first one, survival. What's the example Jesus used? Well, what are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? What are you going to eat? Our ability to live distracts us from God's kingdom. And what's that? The media. The media distracts us from what we need to do. That's their job. Their job is to get you worried, to get you focused and get you binging them to hear what's happening next because they get in your head. Here's a little statistic. The media, 35% of Wall Street covers terrorism. 23% of it covers murders. 11% of it covers suicides. And 69% of the media covers all these stories. 69% of it covers these stories. Do you know the odds of you being killed in a terrorist attack? I'll tell you, it's 0.01%. You know the odds of you being murdered? Less than 1%. You know the odds of you dying by your own hand? Less than 2%. But yet 69% of the media just covers that. And what happens? Everyone gets anxious. That's what they're focused on. Romans 12 says, do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. Do not be shaped by this world. Just because the media says something does not mean that's your whole focus. Do not be shaped like this world, like everybody else. And once you get that mentality, then as it says, then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. And do you know what he wants for you? He wants you to seek his kingdom. In 1 John it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. These are the ways of the world, wanting to please our sinful selves, wanting the sinful things we see, and being too proud of what we have. None of these come from the Father, but all of them come from the world. The world and everything that people want in it are passing away. But the person who does what God wants lives forever. Colossians 2:8. Be sure that no one leads you away with false and empty teaching, pointless teachings. That is only human, which comes from the ruling spirits of this world, not from God. What are the sources of my worries? Focusing too much on what the world is focused on. Second reason is having materialism in the heart. Now, what does materialism mean? That means, again, focus on money, focus on clothing, putting that as a priority over your spirit. In 2 Corinthians, it says, besides all this, there is on me every day the load of my concern for all the churches. Here we have Paul talking about what's on his mind, what's truly on his heart. Is he worried about persecution? Is he worried about dying, being in prison? No. What's on my concern is the church. Having materialism in the hearts. And thirdly, and of course, not seeking the kingdom of God. Now, I said that quite a lot. It must be pretty important. But how do we seek the kingdom of God? How do we look for his kingdom? Praying daily, not just once a week, every day, every morning, every night, every meal, whenever you get a chance, pray. Why? Because what are you doing when you're praying? You're speaking to God. And if you're speaking to God always, what do you think will be on your heart? The anxieties of the world or his kingdom? In Philippians, it says, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray as often as you can every day. Pray without ceasing. Read your Bible every day. You know, there's a lot of challenge, a chapter a day, you know, and that chapter a day is great. But I'll challenge you, read more than just a chapter, right? Read, have your majority of the day reading his word. How often do we find ourselves spending hours scrolling on Amazon or on social media? Or spending hours watching the news or watching TV or watching movies? And compare that to your Bible reading. Read every day. They love the Lord's teaching. They love his words. And they think about those teachings day and night. As soon as they wake up, it's on their mind. As soon as they go to bed, it's on their mind. Does that sound like you? Or do you wake up thinking, turn on the news and to see more heartbreak? Or do you go to bed thinking, I'm anxious about whatever? They go to bed thinking about his word, and they wake up thinking about his word. Service to others. In Mark 10, it says, in the same way, the Son of Man, Jesus himself, did not come to be served. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many people. Galatians 5, verse 13. My brothers and sisters, God called you to be free, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to do what pleases your sinful selves. Serve each other with love. How do we see the kingdom? Service to each other. Being a true servant. Being a servant does not mean, you know, I did one job, one good deed this week, I'm done. I got to do what I want to do now. Being a servant means you do not come first. Others come first. And seeking others to point to God. And this is very important. I love this so much. Because I think we all tend to forget this. We know evangelizing is great. But I think we forget that his last command, Jesus' last command before he ascended was go and make disciples. In Matthew 5 it says, you are the light that gives light to the world. A city that is built on a hill cannot be hidden. And the people don't hide a light under a bowl. They put it on the lampstand. So the light shines for all the people in the house. In the same way, you should be a light for others, for other people. Live so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. In Matthew 28, so go and make followers of all the people of the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have taught you. And I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. Seek others to point to God. This list right here, daily prayer, daily reading, service to others, seeking others. Do you think if you truly, truly did all these things, that you would be thinking about what's going on around the world? That you would even have time to think about that? No. I've been part of this internship for about 2 months now, I believe. And I will say, it's brutal. They have me do a lot of readings and a lot of study. But I remember coming home one day and talking to my grandma saying, you know, I'm 23 years old. And I have never read this much of God's word. I have never read this much. I have never studied this much of his word. I have never experienced the true glory of God, seeing people wanting to know about him, speaking to other Christians, other preachers in the area. I've never experienced that. 23 years I've been a Christian. Well, I was born 23 years ago. I've been a Christian for a long time. I have never experience something like this. And why? Because I don't have time to look at everything else. I come into the office around 9. I leave around 4 or 5. And guess what? I have homework still. So I do that. Next thing I know, I don't have my watch here. Next thing I know, it's 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I'm exhausted. I'm asleep. Do you think I have time to watch TV? Do you think I have time to concern myself with politics? No. When he says, do not be anxious, he is focused on your heart. Your heart is what leads you. Your heart is who you are. And if your heart is weighed down with all the things that do not matter, then you are not doing what he tells you to do. Do not be anxious. Instead, seek the kingdom of God. Lock away the chaos from the world and seek his kingdom, because the kingdom is over all the chaos. If you want to close your notes. We talked about different things he is not saying. He's not saying, when he says do not be anxious, he's not saying, okay, just don't work. He's not saying that. You work as hard as you can. When he says do not be anxious, he's not demonizing mental illness. If you need help, seek help. He's not saying don't. What he's saying, make sure that your heart that makes you who you are, that leads you to where you ought to go, make sure it's not weighed down by what does not matter in this world. Because the world is like a mist. It's here for a little time and it does not matter. But if your heart's set on the kingdom, that's everlasting. That's forever. So what is your heart set on? If you need help getting your heart set on his kingdom, or if you're ready to be a part of the kingdom by being baptized, we invite you to come up and let us help you as we stand and sing.